Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Do they do Prosecco?
Cheers. I'll fetch them over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are you doing? All right.
Yeah, all right. Good, you?
Oh, marvellous, yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Hey.
What?
I've got something for you.
Me?
For Rob.
All right.
Some more budgie smugglers.
Yeah. I've actually got something for me and you.
Oh. So, hang on. Nothing for me and Mark?
Well, so, do you remember a few weeks ago when you got your hats?
Yeah.
Yes. What, yeah. You mean the hats we're wearing now?
Where you got your hats from Harriet?
You've got a scarf.
Yeah. She's made me and Rob a hat.
Hey! Oh, hello!
Look at these. Oh, look at these bad boys. There you
these
go.
These are good.
That is fantastic. Now that we will look like new kids on the block.
Absolutely. She's even...
Hey, I tell you what.
She's even made mine a bit bigger. For me, Ed.
For your big head.
Yeah. Look at that.
They're good.
I've not put it on yet.
That's brilliant.
It looks like me, doesn't it?
It does look like
you. That does look like you.
And it's looking the same way.
Incredibly handsome.
I mean, no, I won't go that far, but...
Oh yes. Look at this.
You two look great.
So I definitely think Harriet's leading the way of number one fan.
Yeah.
Because we haven't received anything else that people have made us or anything.
No.
So
wear it backwards. Cool.
Brilliant. Cool. So thank you very much, Harriet.
Yeah. Thank you, Harriet. Really kind.
Is she gonna do us a complete outfits and things?
Well, ask her, she'll be listening. Ask her. Any special requests, Mark?
Gloves? Scarves?
Gloves. And did you wear yours at Kendall, Mark?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I honestly thought I was going to catch you out there.
No, absolutely. I said Harriet went to all that time and effort to make those hats.
Yeah.
I was definitely going to wear it at Kendall.
Well,
I've got some photos.
You just answered it.
So she can see it.
So we don't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it did happen.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Are you happy with that, Rob?
I'm happy with
that. Happy now?
And I'm happy with my hat. Yeah. Put it on backwards because I'm a cool
happy
kid.
Brilliant.
Yeah, good then.
Hold on a minute. I've just noticed.
Yeah.
On my picture, I've got my face and then what looks like a camera, a laptop, and a light. Oh. That's obviously me for my videography.
That's very well spotted, that, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got anything on yours, Kirk? Do you have notable.
Yeah. I have, yes.
You're not as excited as Rob.
Well, I am. But I know what reaction I'm going to get from your lot.
Go on.
Try us.
So Harriet's drawn on mine a burger, a pizza and a hot dog.
She does know that's not enough for you. There needs to be more food on there. That's just your starter.
No, she's putting all the things that Kirk no longer eats on. That's what she's putting on.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So Harriet, you need to make him some running shoes next.
Yeah.
Well, we ain't got those things on all, and mine and Mark's hats, have we?
Well, you see.
Harriet listens to this, doesn't she?
She does, yeah.
Have you got an address where I can return my hat for you to do more drawings on me? Harriet, yeah. I'm only joking.
Version two.
Version two.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait for version threes. I'm sure she might do us some more hats.
There you go.
But don't worry if you don't want to, Harriet. I'm only joking. No pressure.
Right, all right. Let's not get too excited just because you've got your new hats now. Me and Mark are obviously in the club first.
That's very right. The important ones, you're just, you know.
Yeah.
Second thoughts.
I'm going to turn the conversation a little bit more serious now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Wow, must be serious.
I'm not happy.
Oh, dear.
Is it the hats that you're not happy about?
No. I don't mind them being in the club. I don't mind feeling left out. Okay. So, you know I drive an electric car, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I had to go quite a long distance in the car for work the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back, I had to stop off to charge up. Not a problem, because it's all intelligent, and it'll come up on your car and say, right, you won't reach home based on your current charge status. Your nearest charging station is at, and on this occasion, Scotch Corner. I know Scotch Corner very well. There's some Tesla superchargers there. Brilliant.
Was it far from where you were at that point?
No. I was coming down A1. So I thought, perfect, I'll pull in there, 15 minutes, it'll stick me probably 50, 60 miles in, and then that's me sorted. Because I'd got a few miles over that, you know.
Yeah.
I was just going to run a little bit short of home. So I thought, no problem, I'll pull in. Pulls in, charged up, 15. I was there actually 17 minutes, this is on the thing. And then the other day, I got a letter from Parking Eye.
Oh, no.
Yep. Wanting to charge me £100.
Because you were parked charging?
Yeah.
What?
Because...
Well, you can't... Right.
Well, this
you can't charge while you're driving around.
Hold on. Is it a services you're at?
No. So, however, it's part of the Tesla supercharging network. So you just assume, because it comes up on the car, it's, you know, you go and pay to use it. I'm not using it for free.
Yeah.
You know, you go and pay to use it. So it cost me, I don't know, £8 or whatever to put in 50, 60 miles or whatnot, which I didn't mind, you know.
£8? That's a bargain.
And then to get a bill for that. And I'm like, hang on a minute. So I appealed it. Sent in the screenshot of the Tesla app saying, look, actually, I were a customer. I weren't just parking in the car park and swanning off. Well, no, there's not anywhere to go near Scotch Corner, yeah. Is there? It's just that and then, you know, motorways. And they turned it down. They said it's not sufficient.
What did they want?
They wanted me... I don't know. So what they said is, you should have gone into the hotel and put your reg in. Now, apparently, because I went onto the Tesla Facebook group or one of them.
Okay.
And... I put on, anyone else had a problem with this? And all I got were smart ass replies. Well, you should have read the signs. And I was like, hang on a minute. Read what's... You don't pull in... Well, yeah. I certainly don't. Pull into a car park and then go, right, I need to make sure that if there are any signs, I need to read all the signs to see... Because you see a sign that's got like a branded, you know, Holiday Inn, for example, which Scotch Corner is. And it's usually, leave your vehicle at your own risk. We're not, you know, responsible for any damage and valuables...
I have a question for you, Mark. Not that it changes my opinion, but yeah. When you went into this,
yeah.
Was it a hotel?
There's no barrier.
There was no barrier.
Drive in, drive out. So literally,
okay. No barrier.
I could see all Teslas, because obviously it's only for Teslas, all parked up in a row, people charging up. I reversed into, you know, into spare space, jumped out of car, went around, plugged my charger in, went and sat in car, waited 15, 17 minutes, obviously, as it says on the app, unplugged it. Drove. The only two signs that I took any notice of was the top one said no parking because it's not a parking bit, it's a charging bit.
Fair enough.
Underneath it says EV charging only. And then drove off. But apparently there's a sign underneath that that says you've got to
in really small writing, I'm guessing.
Probably.
So this must be a common problem for Tesla drivers.
I don't think it necessarily just Tesla. I think this Parking Eye, I think they're an unscrupulous company. And I don't think certainly. Had it have been, you know, the appeal would have been upheld. Accepted. And they'd have gone, you know what? Actually, yeah, we can see that you're a customer and that you've not done, you know, you're not going to put your reg in. Fair enough. We'll let it go. No, we're holding you to it. But for what benefit? I've paid to use the service.
Yes.
The only thing I've not done is read the third sign after the other two signs.
Mm. So I'm saying the problem with this is that there are two completely different companies, aren't they? So Parking Eye are just the company that look after the car park, and Tesla have gone, we're going to put some chargers in there.
My gripe's not with Tesla, my gripe is with Parking Eye, because Tesla aren't charged, well, other than fusing the charger, which I paid for, but Tesla will pay whoever owns the car park. I can only assume that's Parking Eye, if they own the car park.
No.
They just manage it?
Yeah.
They're making money off the car park. So they'll be making money off the rent of the chargers. And then making money off the people that don't go in to put the reg in. I just think it's a little bit cheap.
I think personally, I would put it on Tesla. I think it's Tesla that are at fault, because Tesla have put their chargers in a car park that charge to be in that car park if you're not registered at the hotel. Well, so therefore, I would deem that it's up to Tesla to make it more clear that you have to do that, or have some sort of agreement that, I don't know, I don't know how it'd work.
Can I just give a little bit of insight?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually nothing to do with either of them. It's the hotel.
Right. So well, I actually rang the hotel first, yeah, and they said it's nothing to do with us.
That's what they would say, yes.
Right.
So the hotel will own the car park. It'll be part of the hotel's land.
Yeah.
And then hotels that want to put EV chargers in their car parks, obviously as a service for their guests,
mm-hmm.
A lot of them go out to tender. And they say to different companies, so you may have got Tesla, you may have got, I think, Pogo or something they're called or whatever. And they say, well, this is what we'll offer for us to be able to put our equipment in your car park. Okay. Yeah. And then the hotel chooses whichever company works best for them. So yeah. It could be so a company might go, well, we'll put them all in for free. Won't cost you absolutely anything.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll just take the money from the, you know, from the thing. There tends to be a bit of a counter thing sale, if you like, a selling point of, we'll put them in your car park for free. It won't cost you anything. And think about all the customers that's going to come and charge the car and come into the hotel and have a coffee. Mm. A lot of hotel car parks have things like parking eye in place to stop people parking the car and then just walking off and X, Y, and Z.
But then when you send evidence of that in, you know, but I rung the hotel and the lady answered the phone. I explained the situation. Well, I'm really sorry. It's nothing to do with the hotel. It's parking eye. They own the car park. And that's, they were exact words. Yeah. So, right, got onto parking eye, appeal the thing. No, we're not accepting. That's not sufficient.
One of the pushbacks from hotels, they used to say that they didn't want to deal with parking eye because they don't have time in the hotel to deal with this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So parking eye do say, well, just anyone rings you, just tell them to put them onto us. It's our responsibility.
Yeah, they haven't got a telephone number or anything.
Exactly. So that I'm just saying that because if the place where I used to work, Mark, if you'd have gone in and done that at that place, it would have been exactly the same.
I understand if I'm going in to use a car park and not put anything, you know, over the bar, if you like, or mm-hmm. into any sort of revenue, but my sole purpose there was to use part of the what is called the supercharging network, you know, there's no barrier system to lend you to think that there's any sort of restrictions in place.
Yeah.
You're going in to pay to charge, that's it.
I think the biggest difference is you, like you say, you went in for Tesla specifically.
Yeah.
Which is a brand in itself. And it's whereas the ones that was installed in my old hotel, they're a different brand. They're not Tesla or anything.
They won't
like
charge
that.
At the rate that the superchargers will. That's what it is.
No, absolutely.
There's only Tesla will charge.
What I'm saying is I can understand why you would go in and not even think about the fact of
absolutely
being, you know, parking or charge.
If I'd gone into a car park knowing that I need a charge and went, oh, that hotel will have some chargers and I'll just go in and use theirs.
Yeah.
That's different because, like you said, that's me going in and using the hotel's chargers for that. Whereas you would assume that just when there's a bank of Teslas, that's just a Tesla charging area that's in that car park
exactly.
space. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to play devil's advocate as I do, there were a sign.
Yeah, there were. But we can all put signs right low down, you know, by all accounts, they're behind the car because you're reversing in, as you should do safely, you know. There's a reason why things are placed in certain places, and you know, there are smart arses on Facebook that go, well, there are signs, you know, as you've just said, then, you know, smart arse. however, we can all do that. We can all play the I'm the big boy and, you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You know, people will get caught out, and they do get caught out, and it's wrong.
Yeah,
but the thing that you're making is that you've then gone to them and said, look, I understand your mistake.
Yeah.
I understand that you've charged me and you know, I understand there's a sign, but I didn't see the sign and I was only there for this reason. There's the evidence.
Yeah.
And therefore,
and
then,
and they still won't.
No, because that's where the money-making element of it is.
Absolutely.
There?
And that's the unscrupulous bit where they go, well, actually, no. You stayed longer than you should have done. No, that doesn't apply. There is nothing that I physically, in my opinion, other than not reading the bulletin, going and putting registration plates in blimpin, you know. I don't like companies that are out to get money on the cheap on the sly.
Yeah.
I've been caught out like this before, Mark, and I think I've mentioned it on this podcast before. Local spa down the corner from where I live.
Like a coffee shop.
And I went in and I had a coffee for an hour in the coffee shop, came out and left, and the signs had only been, the whole system had only been put in 5 days earlier. So despite the fact that I've been doing this for months and it didn't exist, and they put it in and they'd only put one sign in the car park at this point.
Right.
And so I then contested it and said, look, here's my receipt. I was in the coffee shop from this time till this time and that's when I've left. And again, they said, too late. No, you owe it. And so that's when I went to Twitter and contacted the whole area, the spa and the coffee shop were owned by Blake Moores. I couldn't find any help number for that, so I just contacted the CEO, his son and his daughter, directly on LinkedIn, and told them my problem, and they dealt with it.
I'll be honest with you, I have been on LinkedIn and seen the people that own and run the company, and I were close to message in a polite way.
I wrote my message basically said, you've put a coffee shop in a very small village that it's our local coffee shop. I've come for a coffee, and why you know, I explained it all. Anyway, they got back to me and said, we've dealt with it for you.
Oh, nice, isn't it?
Did you pay it?
Yeah.
How much was it?
Well,
30 or 60 or more.
Well, it's actually discounted if you pay it within the first.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So
that's how they get away with it, because people just think, do you know what? Yeah. I could go through all this and
I and just, they do. Yeah. And they're like, if you want to appeal it, then you can appeal it. However, if you do appeal it and you lose the appeal, then you don't get the option of paying the.
This actually said on the contrary, which I've got to be fair. Right, they did say that during the appeal thing, your discount thing wouldn't lapse. So that's my gripe of the week.
Well,
so
you won't be going there again, though. That's the thing, isn't it?
I definitely won't be going there again.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So I've got something to lift the mood.
Well, okay. Go on then.
I've got a little game.
I thought you got me a refund on your parking.
You're not that lucky.
Surprise, surprise.
So I've got a little game, all right? So okay. Bear with me on this. The guys really didn't know I was going to do this.
No, so I'm intrigued.
So, yes. I'm going to ask Mark a question first.
Me?
The other one.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Would you rather be...
Oh, here we go.
Would
you rather...
I'm not going there again.
Would you rather be... the quiz master.
Ooh.
Or the describer.
Ooh.
Or the answerer.
Ooh.
What, why are you asking him?
Because I've already picked it for you.
Oh. Oh, okay, so I don't even get a choice. Okay, what about Rob? He's not even taking part.
I want to be now. I don't know what I want to be. Well, fancy giving me three decisions.
It's two options. Yeah.
Quiz master and describer. Yeah. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Or the answerer.
Yeah.
River.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Whatever you don't pick, that's going to Rob.
I'm going to be the answerer.
Answerer.
Yeah. Right. Is Rob going to be the describer?
Yep.
Oh, what chance have I got?
I'm glad you said that.
That's why I gave you the option. Okay.
Thank you.
Rob can't talk off at times.
So what I've got in my hand is two pieces of paper, okay, set A and set B. On each piece of paper is a famous... singer/artist.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are famous. Okay. And Rob's got to describe them. All right. There's 10 each. So you've got 10 each. So what, 10 for Mark, 10 for other Mark. And you've got to guess who they are.
Okay.
But Rob can't say that, obviously, their name.
Yeah.
Part of any band that they've been in or may have been in.
Okay.
Name any songs that they've
done.
Can he
only answer yes or no to us questions? Is that...
You're not asking questions, he's describing them and you're guessing.
Oh, I see.
Right, okay. Can we wait till he's finished the full description then guess?
Well,
it's
thing. No, you can guess.
Is it just Mark guessing? I can't jump in.
So you've got a piece of paper each.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a choice now, Mark.
Yeah.
Would you like set A or set B?
Ooh. It's like the chase, this, isn't it?
B. He don't, I mean, B. Yeah.
So that's Mark's.
Okay.
There's 10 on there. You might just need to cover the back because it's just a bit of paper, so you don't see. Oh, Maggie's got no. Yeah, he's got his glasses.
I can see that from over there. I've got good eyesight from long distance.
So Rob, you know what your rules are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think so.
So you can't say the name. You can't say part of any band or anything they've been part of, and you can't name or sing any songs.
Okay. And they are just songs.
They're people.
People. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, and would you agree they're famous?
Very.
All right, okay. Very. So there's 10 on there, so it's about how many you get right.
Who's Rob doing this? To me,
you.
Or Mark? Oh, to me, I'm going.
And then he's going to do Mark's A, and it's about who gets the most right. The different right, okay.
Are we on a clock? There's no clock.
No. You're taking note, yeah?
Well, you tell me if they're right or not when he says he says the right thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
On your marks, get set, go.
Okay, it's a female,
yep.
And she was in a film called Bodyguard.
Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Ding.
She is famous for how she's got quite squiggly hair, curly hair, and she's got a certain way about the way she dances.
Tina Turner.
Yes, correct.
Oh, well done. Wow. Well done.
It's part of a royal family, not the king, not the queen. It's their son.
Oh, the actor's name? part of the real royal family?
Yeah. What would it be? The son of a king.
Son of a king? William.
No. No, the son of a king would be a...
Prince.
Well, one of my favourite female singers. She's
that don't give me much. Nelly Furtado.
No, she's I think she's French.
No.
Céline Dion.
Yes. Well done.
she's Canadian, but
I can't say the band they're in, can I?
No. No.
This is an odd one. it was in one of the possibly the most famous bands in the world back from the 60s. This person still makes music now on his own. Think of the most famous band in the world that we're back from the 1960s.
Paul McCartney.
Well done.
Well done.
This one, she's known for being quite random, wearing... She once wore a full meat outfit.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
This one is famous for an advert for a chocolate.
Phil Collins.
Yep. Oh, well done.
This one, she was known for being on drugs. She died on an overdose, I think.
Whitney Houston?
Nope. Different person. English. Died quite young.
Amy Winehouse.
Yep.
Well done.
And this one is quite a youngish singer, probably in his 30s. And he is famous for...
I haven't got anything yet.
I don't know if he's actually Filipino or Indonesian.
Oh, Bruno Mars.
Yes, correct.
Well done.
Wow.
And last one, it's two, they're puppets, and they were on...
Zig and Zag.
Yes!
Well done! Mate, well, I'm well impressed.
Can I have a bit of credit as well?
Well, of course. I wasn't timed,
and you were going as fast as you possibly could.
I was just about to say, I felt like I was rushed, there was no clue. Yeah. I'm like, just kick back here and take my time.
Brilliant. I'm well impressed with that. Well
that
done.
That Bruno Mars one was real. I wouldn't have got that.
Well, well done, Rob, as well, for those good
absolutely.
Descriptions there.
Let's see how you do.
I love that. That was great.
By the way, is Bruno Mars Indonesian or Filipino?
He's Filipino.
Yes.
Well done.
So well done for that, because you know,
I was struggling because without the song, you're like,
yeah. Listen, I think you did better than I did.
That were very good. That were very good.
I can't wait for.
We should have timed that so we can see if Mark could beat me on time.
I never thought. Yeah, because in all fairness, there's a chance Mark will get 10 out of 10 as well. I did make them quite famous.
That were good. I like that, Kurt.
Kurt, when you come to edit it, you'll have to work out the time and tell us next week if
we've got the quickest time. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready. On your marks, get set, go.
Okay, female British singer. She used to be a bit bigger and now she's quite slim and has a spot on Vegas.
Huh?
She's got a spot on Vegas. She's British. She's in probably nearly about 40. She was quite a big girl, and now she's lost quite a lot of weight. She just announced that she's engaged.
Her mind's it's Adele. Mine went blank when you were saying you're a big girl.
Been around since the 60s, plays a piano, very famous.
Elton John?
Yep.
Well done.
Blind, black guy.
Stevie Wonder?
Yep.
I was going to give me Charles first.
Large breasticles, country singer.
Dolly Parton.
Yep. very famous Christmas song comes out every year. She sang it.
Oh, Mariah Carey.
Yep. Was in Crystal Labyrinth. Was in Labyrinth.
David Bowie.
Yep.
Well done.
Oh, this is harder.
What to read?
Female singer. She's still alive, I'm pretty sure.
That's narrows it down.
She's got to be in her 70s, maybe even 80s.
Okay. Diana Ross?
Yes,
well done.
Again, same famous band from the 60s.
Rolling Stones?
No, from the 60s. He's dead now, but
he
was in the same band as another one that Mark
John
had.
John Lennon?
Yep.
Well done.
This guy's not as famous for playing the instrument, but he but he sang a song about the instrument.
Billy Joel.
Yes.
Well done.
And then Noel's House Party character.
Big Mr. Blobby.
Correct.
We're going to call him Big Blobby.
That's great. Well done, Martin. Well done, Rob.
Well done, guys.
Listen,
well
you done. Know what? I'd love that to go on the Wheel of Features.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a good one, that. But we just need to set a timer on it so that we can try and beat the time.
I just thought it'd be a bit of fun.
I thought it'd be great.
I'm well impressed with your describing.
Yeah. Well done, Rob.
I thought you're absolutely brilliant, that, Rob. Well done.
10 out of 10.
Well done, Rob.
Yeah.
But both 10 out of 10 for you. Brilliant. Woo-hoo. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well done, Mark.
What do we get?
No prizes.
No prizes.
You're not having my hat either.
No prizes.
Famous people. I'll tell you what. It's.
Ooh, fears.
But have you actually met any? Have you met many famous people?
I've met a few
famous people.
Have you met
a couple?
And I repeat these over and over, so some people will probably get sick of me saying it. But I've met Barry Earn.
Who's that?
he's really famous in certain circles, sporting circles. Yeah. So you know Eddie Hearn?
Yes,
it's his dad.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, so he was the chairman of World Snooker and Matchroom Sport and.
No to do with boxing?
No, because he gave that to his son to sort of. Well, when he brought him into the business.
That's what I mean. Did he start it and then hand it to him?
No. I think he just sort of nurtured him in the business of sports promotion.
How did you meet him?
So, the company I worked for a few years ago, we had. I met two famous people. Three, actually. But anyway, two notable ones. We had them as guest speakers. And it was in Portugal, and they got to fly out. And obviously part of their deal probably and the fees and whatever would have been to put them up in the hotel for 3 or 4 days, play golf. And so sat next to him in the minibus to golf course, and we were talking about
boxing. Nice guy.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit disappointed because things are changing a little bit now. He's saying everyone's got a price now in regards to World Snooker moving to China and so on. And at that time, he was saying it will never happen while he's alive. Only Eddie would probably end up letting it happen. But no, really, really nice bloke. Spoke, you know, just genuine. You know, very, very entertaining. And then I also met a massive fan of him at the time, Dave Spiker. You know,
who's that?
He was one of the co-writers of Phoenix Nights.
Oh, okay.
You know, played Jerry Sinclair.
Yeah. Yes, I know what you mean.
And I were really humbled by him, actually, because he came down into the hotel lobby while we were sat talking, and he came down to get a drink, and I went, "It's Dave Spiker." And he turned around, and he looked a bit tired, obviously. He must have just gotten there, and we were coming down to get a couple of drinks to take up for him and his wife. And I went, "Dave." Anyway, and the guys I was to be were like, never heard of him, because they were from London, and it's Northern comedy, isn't it? And they don't necessarily associate. And anyway, but it was the day after we were on the marina having some drinks and whatever as part of his package, whatever. And he come walking in with his wife, and he made a beeline for me because I'd obviously recognised it the day before.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was talking to him for most of the night, and he was just such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I were really so yeah. That they two were
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and when I was a child, I sat on Eamon Holmes' knee.
and it weren't even Christmas.
Oh, no. It was at school.
Dressed as Father Christmas.
There's like varying degrees of famous, isn't there? Because I know when I was thinking about it, and I've met and I know Howard Webb. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, he's not really famous. You know, no, he's very famous.
He is, in
the world of football. But sometimes I'm not much of a footballer or know much about it, I don't really.
Realise
how famous he probably is, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then obviously my uncle Dean, if you don't know, my uncle Dean Andrews is in Emmerdale at the minute, but probably more famous for Life on Mars, Ashes to Ashes. I actually ended up going to watch the filming of one of the episodes of that. So I ended up meeting Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes.
I bet that were good.
It was really good. And also,
how many people were you correcting on angles and things?
Are you doing the lighting with you as well? Yeah.
I was sat in awe at their acting mainly. Philip Glenister and that, and you're watching them, you just think, wow.
He's great, isn't he?
Amazing, yeah, really good. But I'm trying to think of some other famous people I met from obviously back in the day when I did a lot of some of the acting jobs, which I know you did as well, Kirk, mm-hmm. you do meet a lot of people on the programmes that you're on, and you know, sometimes you're surprised by how nice they are, and sometimes you can be surprised how not nice they are.
Right,
absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think I have really met many people that weren't nice.
I did.
Yes.
Did
who was it?
Who was it?
It's the guy from Coronation Street, plays Ken Barlow.
Ken Loach.
No, he's an actor. He's a director.
It is Roach.
Ken Loach is a director.
Bill Roach.
Yeah, he weren't. I mean, he might have just been having a bad day, but he were really not nice to me at all.
Really?
Yeah. Really not nice to me. I was actually sat in the green room because two of the other actors. Was it Saran Jones that was in Coronation Street?
Yeah.
And the guy that plays drives the taxi,
Steve
McDonald.
Yes.
And they asked me to go into the green room with them. They actually bummed some cigarettes off me at the time and they did, and I was sat in the green room with them. They asked me to go into the green room, and he came in and had a right go at me for being in green room because I was in the wrong room. I shouldn't have been in that room.
Really?
To a point where like Saran tried to almost like stick up for me, and he told us shut up and stuff like that. And that was that. Yeah, I mean, like I say, might have been having a bad day or whatever, I don't know. That was probably the only time that I came across that kind of rudeness, if you like.
Funnily enough, I met Saran Jones, isn't it?
Yes.
She was at Rotherham Civic way back before she did anything famous. She was at Rotherham Pantomime, and I were working backstage.
I saw her getting changed.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, I'm
top Trumps.
I had to go into a dressing room to get changed into a police officer's outfit for the part that I was playing in Coronation Street.
Ooh.
And while I was in there, she ran in to change the top. And I was very respectful. I was very respectful. But she was lovely. Saran Jones was absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely, especially with her top off.
When it comes when it comes to
where were you shaking my head in disbelief.
Where were you truncheon?
I have met actually some famous people, but not directly through. Well, I'll put it this way. I've met and spoke to Robbie Williams' dad. I got to go and watch Robbie Williams in one of his concerts in Manchester. It was a bit random. We got a call. Dean had got tickets because he knows Robbie Williams' dad, and his my cousins that couldn't go and rang last minute and went, Rob, there's two tickets. Do you want them, you and Gemma? I was at work. I was like, can I go? So we went, and when we got there, literally Dean come and got us, took us up backstage, and literally Robbie Williams' dogs are running up and down, and we just went in this private little bar area, and Robbie Williams' dad, come on, sit down, what do you want to drink? Like, lovely. Literally, you know, really, wow. Really nice guy.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And then also I went to watch a show last year called The Shark Is Broken. Which is the...
How do you break a shark?
Is it
one of the vacuum cleaners off the shark?
Yeah.
Because I could certainly break one of those.
You could break a real shark.
Probably.
Absolutely, you could. Yeah.
Especially, you only went in for a photo, you broke it.
Especially the one in Jaws.
Yeah.
So I went to watch a show called The Shark Is Broken, and it's about the making of the film Jaws. Because the story goes that... the guy who played Quint and the other guy, I can never remember his name, but the two leads.
They didn't
like each other, hated each other.
Yeah.
They didn't like each other. They constantly didn't get on throughout the filming.
Wow.
So every time they weren't filming, they were arguing, and they were just on a boat in the sea. They'd say cut, and they'd all have to sit there and talk, and they didn't like each other. So they've made a play of it. But the guy who wrote the play is... Robert Shaw's son, Ian Shaw. And after the reason we got tickets, Gemma loves Jaws. We bought the tickets, Gemma got COVID and couldn't go.
Did Mark get her?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me. No, I went in the same time.
You will get air conditioning in your caravan.
Same time he kicked her out of bed.
Yeah.
So I ended up going down on my own, and I bought a programme and hung out afterwards to get his autograph for Gemma, and it was just stood talking to him. Really, really nice guy, and he looks just like his dad.
He really looks like him. Do you know what I mean when I say Quint on Jaws? Yeah. You know, the one who's...
Robert Shaw.
That's it, yeah. Pissed up in the film.
Ian Shaw's dad.
That's it.
Well, he were hammered most... While they were filming, he were pretty much hammered. That's why he's slurring off at time in film, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, it was great play, and yeah, I met him.
Bob?
So, yeah.
I've met Frank Bruno.
Have you?
Yeah.
I know someone else you've met, you just reminded me, but I'll let you get to that, and I think you might have already mentioned it. And what were you like?
Yeah, lovely. Lovely guy.
Yeah?
Yeah,
lovely. How did that come about?
He did a like a sportsman's dinner at the hotel. And really interesting to listen to as well.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he didn't shy away from any of, you know, it's not controversy, is it? But he had mental health problems, didn't he, and stuff like that.
I think he still openly talks about it. Yeah, he still struggles.
Certainly didn't shy away from them stories and stuff. I'll always remember a story that he said, if you don't mind me saying, because it's just stuck with me. When the one of the people in the audience asked him a question and said, "Have you ever been scared getting into the ring?" Or like when you fought Mike Tyson, was you scared getting into the ring? And he said, "Look, as a boxer, you can never be scared getting into a ring. If you're scared getting into the ring, then don't get in. You've already lost." He says, "So no, I've never been scared getting into a ring." He says, "However, when I was fighting Mike Tyson," he says, "I swung a punch, and with absolutely everything I've got, he opened up his guard, and he swung this punch. I swung this punch with everything I got." Mark will probably know, but Frank Bruno was known to have one of the hardest punches in boxing. And he says, "I hit him with everything I'd got. Everything I'd got. I thought, that's it. I've won. That's it. I've won." He says, "And when Mike Tyson hardly stumbled and then just looked at me as though I'd just flicked him, then yeah, I was scared."
Wow.
He says, "I was scared because I'd just give him everything I'd got."
Yeah.
You know, but really, really, really interesting. But lovely guy. Lovely, lovely guy. Jim Bowen. Met Jim Bowen.
Bullseye. Yes.
Yeah. What I didn't realise is that he used to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Obviously, before
my time. A very blue stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was really, really, really funny.
It's funny, you know, speaking of Jim Bowen, we were just, you know, when you're channel hopping.
Yeah.
And literally, it's the same stuff every day, isn't it? So we ended up sticking Challenge.
Challenge. I knew you were saying Challenge.
And we ended up watching about four or five on the bounce of just... Yeah. How he was. I mean, back then, I mean, we're talking 70s, 80s.
It's hilarious, though, when you look at what some of the things he says to him.
And when he's talking to contestants, and, you know, there'll be like a bigger lady or whatever. There'll be two women that have come in, and one of them might be a little bit larger. And he'll go, "Oh, yeah, did you have chips on your way here?" And it'd be like just... And he'd look at the crowd, and they'd be laughing. And
sexist, everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mainstream
TV. Well, there's a famous clip in on Bullseye where he says to this woman saying, "Oh, she's been on a charity thing, a charity diet type thing." And he went, "Well, you know, obviously you've not even started it, have you?" And she went, "Yeah, I've done it." And he's like, "Well, how much do you raise?" "About £2." And this was actually on Bullseye. There's a clip on YouTube. You know, see it. It's just crazy.
Probably the most famous person I've met, though.
Can I guess?
Go on.
Jason Statham,
yeah. I actually had a beer with him in LA.
Hello.
And check him out.
I was in LA.
Yeah, I was.
What are you doing over there? Talking to your agent, were you?
Went for a little trip to LA, and there was an England game on, football, that I wanted to watch. So I went and sat in a bar. They were showing it. And when I got to the bar, it was quite quiet. But I wanted a cigarette, so I went outside. And when I came back in, the bar had filled up quite a bit. And obviously, I'd lost my seat or whatever, but fine. So I was stood
He went in and said, "You better shift."
Yeah.
And Jason Statham sat there looking back at him. Yeah. You can just imagine, can't you?
No, I was stood watching, you know, football were about to start and everything. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice that was sat in one of the booths that said, sit here. And I looked down, I went, "Oh, cheers." Never even give it a second thought. I was, "Oh, cheers." You know, and he like hunched up and I sat down. And I almost like had to double take. Do you know what I mean? And he like looked at me and he went, "Yeah, no, I just want to watch match." I'm like, "Fine." And waitress came round, asked if he wanted a drink, so I bought him a beer. I ordered two Bud Lights, and he looked. He took the beer off me, and he looked at me, and I like kind of, you know, sheepishly looked at him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? As if, because I just did it, and he went, That's the first time someone's bought me a drink in years.
Really?
I went, well...
He's not a recovering alcoholic, is he?
I know. I was like, well, cheers, you know. And then literally sat, watched the match, probably about 10 minutes before end of match, he got up and he said, you know, have a nice holiday and off he went.
And he didn't buy you a beer back?
No.
What's that to his face?
But, so, yeah.
He used to be a diver, didn't he?
I didn't engage in much conversation,
Robbie. He used to be a diver. I'm pretty sure he was... I don't think he ever competed in the Olympics, but he was training to be a diver for the Olympics.
Wow.
That's why he's in the Meg films.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he's right for the part.
Have you met anyone, Mark?
Well, it's funny, while I've been sat here, I'm trying to think who I've met, because you know from previous episodes, my memory's not good, so yeah. I forget. I know that's how bad it is, but then when you were talking about somebody, I was like, oh, cool, yeah. And then you talked about him. So I've met Jim Bowie.
Yeah.
So I met him when I was about 18. And I used to when I said that, I used to work in a
how old were Jim Bowie? 7.
Well, this is in so this is in his height of his 80s, because this is 80s here. This is the height of his bullseye. And I worked in a carpet shop as a salesman. And what's so funny?
I could not imagine the
shave up business didn't work out very well then.
I think this was prior to my shave up business.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got this job in Aylesbury, it was at the time. I got this job in this carpet and it was a new shop and Jim Bowen was opening it. Like I said, I mean, to most people, they're going to go, who's Jim Bowen? But it, height of his career, you know, type of thing, yeah. On bullseye. Anyway, came down, obviously, talked to him a little bit. No idea what I talked to him about.
Yeah.
So I think something like, oh, my mom really likes you because my mom used to watch Bullseye.
Yeah.
So I met him. I forgot all about, but you mentioned, what's his name? Webb guy, referee guy.
Howard Webb.
Howard Webb. Well, I've met him only because I did his mom and dad's wedding anniversary at the hotel.
Oh.
Oh, DJ'd it.
DJ'd it. And of course, he just said, Mr. and Mrs. Webb. I didn't mm-hmm. go. I wonder if, what's his name? Howard. I didn't go, oh, well, I would be there. I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When I were there, he was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure that's the, because he's bald, isn't he? Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, is that referee guy?
Yeah.
Referee guy.
You know, and I spoke to him briefly, you know, and so I met him.
I fitted his parents' lights in front of their house.
Well, I did his mum and dad's wedding. I think that's a step higher than fitting lights.
Top trumps.
I think Mark's in that age group, though, isn't he, that he's also met Rolf Harris, Jimmy Savile.
Well, Jimmy Savile.
Gary Glitter.
He got me to milk a cow blindfolded. Jimmy Savile. So that was. But anyway, somebody else I've met.
Julius Caesar.
No, I've met Jamie Theakston and Gail Porter.
Oh.
Way back when they were sort of famous and when she had hair, because she's no hair now, she, bless her. But that were at hotel. They were doing something in Sheffield Arena or something, and they were staying at hotel, and I came down to reception. And I was like, oh, okay. I walked past and I went, oh, I know them, type thing. I didn't point to her. I went, I sort of know them. And the guy on the bar said, oh, it's so-and-so. So I turned round at the time, then Jamie Theakston were walking to the bar.
And did he say, hello, so-and-so?
And I just said, oh, hiya. You know, as if I knew him. And he went, do you want a drink? Randomly, I said, do you want a drink? Do you want to come sit down? And I turned around and saw Gail Porter. And I went, no, I'm DJing upstairs.
As Mark would.
As I would, you know. Two other people I've met then is... No, but I can't remember his name, but you guys will help me. I'm hoping... Right, so I think he's a black dude and he played football
Is he a dude
Yeah, he's definitely a bloke. And he used to have like dreadlocks type thing. In his name, something like...
Rude Hullett.
Rude
Hullett.
Rude Hullett. I met him in Lyft at the Holiday Inn. I got my CDs. I walked into the lift with my CDs and he said to me, I bet they're heavy. There you go. And I went, not really.
Did you?
And that really got out of the lift.
Oh, shit, Sherlock.
And another person I've met.
Did you say, don't be rude?
And then finally, another person I met was, and I'm not sure you guys will know who he is. I don't know his real name. I just know his character name from Coronation Street, Percy Sugden.
Percy Sugden. I don't know his real name. I know what you mean.
I met him at Manchester at the Granada Studios.
Oh, all right, when you were wandering round.
When I was doing the tour.
Oh, very good.
And I met him and I spoke to him and I went, hello, Percy. And he went, you do know that's not my name. I went, yeah, but I don't know what your real name is. And that way, so they're the famous really people. Good. I've probably met loads more. I just can't remember.
Well, I've got a question for you.
For me? For all of us?
All of you. If there was one person famous that you would meet that would make you starstruck so much that you might even struggle to speak,
alive.
Who would it be?
Alive.
Well, I would say alive, yeah.
I know what he's going to say. That's why he asked that question.
If it's dead, that's why I've got
to. So you need to pick someone else.
Yeah.
Well, who would it be? If he's alive, I know exactly who I'd say.
Who would it be?
Tom Hanks.
Right. Yeah.
I think I just think he's incredible.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely incredible.
I thought you were going to say who I was going to say. Tom Cruise.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
And
yeah.
I genuinely think if I saw him, and in my head now, I've got 101 questions I'd love to ask him or speak to him about.
And you try and ask him all at the same time, wouldn't you?
I don't think I would. I think I'd literally just go, I don't know what to say. Because he's like a hero to me. I'm like, what? He's amazing. Mm. You know, Mark, who would you say?
Well, I would be most in awe of.
Yeah.
God, there's so many.
That would literally make you, like, you wouldn't know what to say to him. Well,
by all accounts, he's not as famous as Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise. But when we went to Kendall Calling, and Tim Burgess walked right past us.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
And I've no doubt if I'd have asked him, he'd have stopped for a photo.
Yeah.
Bottled it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He walked past you there with bucket hat on, looked exactly the same as he always ever has done. And he'd literally, from the distance from me to you, and he walked past me. I don't know if it was an assistant or a security guard that were with him. Literally, just walk past us, you know, just cool as old.
Yeah. The thing is, as well, there's like a unwritten respect thing as well, isn't it? That you think
they want to be bothered.
They're just a normal person, yeah, and they're just going about their normal day. And do they want bothering?
Yeah.
And you're kind of doing this psycho thing of, you know,
should I?
And those moments happen very quick, don't they?
Yeah. But so by all accounts, probably most famous people. And I don't know what it is. I think. It depends on the situation at the time. Because Dave Spikey, for example, Barry Earn, I had no problem in talking to him. I think I might have gotten more nervous as I've gotten a little bit older. But I don't know.
There was a thing on the Facebook Glastonbury groups about lead singer of Coldplay.
Chris Martin.
Chris Martin. We're walking around Glastonbury. Well, he'd gone to sit down at a certain area. We're talking to another famous person, female, and they were just chatting. And someone went up to him and asked if he wanted a photograph, and he respectfully declined.
Yeah.
He said, I'm really sorry, but I'm having a day off today, so I'm going to say no, but thank you anyway. And quite a few people battered him for it.
Really?
Saying, you know, who do you think he is and all this. And I'm a bit like, no, he respectfully said no.
Yeah.
You know, they just see it as a very much, it's only one person. No, because one person, and then another person goes, oh, he's doing photographs. Yeah. Another person, there's a mob around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
People think they're entitled to that photo, don't they?
Yeah. Almost like, that's what you put yourself in for. Well, it's not. He wants to be a singer.
Yeah.
He's not there to be famous. He wants to be a singer. But you, Mark?
I'm going to say somebody like Richard Branson.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I like people like from an entrepreneur.
Sorry, Mark. I just realised I said the wrong name earlier. When I said I'd sat on Eamon Holmes' knee, it weren't Eamon Holmes.
With Jimmy Savile?
No, it was Emlyn Hughes. It was a footballer.
Oh, yeah,
completely different people.
Yeah, it was a question of sport, weren't it, Captain?
Yeah.
Anyway, from Sheffield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eamon Holmes is sat at home listening to this podcast going, I don't remember anyone sat on my knee.
I went to Thorpe Esley Junior School and Mark Hill sat on my knee. Emily Hughes, yeah.
Sorry, go on, what? Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, because I quite like, you know, people who are, you know, entrepreneurs, and he's like that.
Yeah.
And an obvious one that I'm going to say. I know most people's not going to know who this is. You will, but people listening won't. Bob Iger, I'd like to meet him.
God, yeah. I'd like to meet Bob
you know,
Iger.
So the people that have done things, I mean, I'm not saying famous people have done things, but you know what I'm saying? They'd be interesting to, you know, they're not like, I've just recorded an album, I've just recorded a film, I've just filmed a film or whatever. You know, these are people that's
meet
done businesses.
Meet someone who's got something to talk about.
Yeah, you know, but that's what I sort of, that's what I'd like to do. I'd be awestruck if I met them type thing.
Yeah.
Because it's right what you were saying before, though, weren't it, Rob? That there's different levels of fame, isn't there?
Definitely.
Like, there's like
famous in circles. If you're into that circle, you'll know that person.
Yeah,
and then
there's
famous where everybody just knows the face.
Yeah, but then there's also, what do we call fame nowadays?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that get called famous.
Yes.
You know, what does that take now?
And I guess that's a little bit about what you've just said and what you just said. Like, for instance, one person would say a celebrity off Love Island. Oh, they'd be like, oh, it's such and such off Love Island. I'd be like, oh.
Well, I mean, literally, these people come out of Love Island and go and DJ in a nightclub and hundreds...
Yeah,
I don't know about thousands, but hundreds of people go to that nightclub just to see them.
I mean, that were a thing back at 90, if you remember, Mark. Mm. DJs, they would be out of a soap star, Hollyoaks, for example, were a perfect example. People, special guest so-and-so coming to do a DJ set. Excuse me.
Yeah, they're not really doing a DJ set, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, they just stand there at microphone. Hello, everybody, I'm so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then somebody else has been some records for him.
Yeah.
No, but you are right, absolutely. It's hard to even use the word famous now because there's so many people that I wouldn't say are famous. They're just well known.
Mm.
They're in the public eye enough that everybody knows who they are.
That's famous.
I guess that is famous.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I think there's an element of it that how long they're famous for.
Or what they're famous for.
Yeah, but
you can be famous for, you know.
I think fame is different from what it used to be. And what I mean by that is not your TikTokers and YouTubers. I don't mean that. But there's what I mean by different levels of fame is if you go back to like 60s, 70s, people that were famous, everybody knew them.
Yeah.
Because they were singers, you know, they were band like Beatles or they were actors or whatever. You didn't really have like Z-listers, shall we say. They would go, well, I've never heard of them. Now we've got different levels. Yes, you've got different levels of fame because they're famous for different things. But like, for example, Ethan knows famous people in his world, you know, YouTubers and stuff, that people that my age have no idea.
Walk past the street and not even know.
And you know, people like Ethan's age would go, oh, he's famous, and I would have no idea. But that works the other way, because I could be watching a film going, oh, do you know Kirk Douglas? Obviously famous Hollywood actor. Ethan would go, no idea who he is.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get that in the 70s. Or the 60s and 70s.
Either everybody knew them or nobody knew them.
Everybody knew famous people.
Yeah.
But now you've got different... I mean, I'm just simplistic as in there's two levels. I bet there's even more levels than that on different age groups.
Yeah.
And is that the only film you've ever watched then, that one that had Kirk Douglas in it?
And the definition couldn't be more black and white. Known about by many people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, you just said, it's true.
Would any of you guys like to be famous?
Depends what for.
that's a very good point.
No, for something positive, but
I would say I'd love it at first. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely, I'd love it. But I can imagine it very quickly becomes
tiresome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very annoying.
Yeah.
Invasion of privacy, you know, just never, certainly to the levels of, I don't know, I'm going to pick a random one, but he's very famous, Harry Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To not be able to leave your front door most days without someone there.
Yeah, waiting someone sleeping on your step.
Yeah. Literally, even if it's just an autograph, a hug, a paparazzi taking a picture of you, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'd like to add that. It depends on what age you become famous. Because, like, Harry Styles got quite famous quite young. So he's probably not... Most of his life he's going to be famous. So if you're famous from a young age, you don't really know what you're sort of missing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
almost
saying,
like used to it.
Yeah, used to it.
You don't know any different.
But if you became famous like at my age, 70, you know, I mean, like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'm okay with this because I'm 70. I've had quite 70 years of not being famous.
Yeah, plus that.
You know, so I suppose it also depends on what age you become famous.
It's a good point that because you're your lifestyle and your life.
Yeah.
You've adjusted to it. That's what you are.
Do you think you could handle it, Mark?
I tell you what, I wouldn't like. And I'm not normally a nervous person. I don't like the idea that if you did become well known and let's say successful, you know, and well known, that you could become a target. Do you know what I mean? And you look at like Beckhams have been broken into, and you know, famous footballers, musicians, and you know, I wouldn't like the fact that you know you'd have to put provisions in place, have security, and all those. So I wouldn't like that aspect of it. I think respected for doing something, if you did something at a good level and you got some respect, you know, you were sort of revered for it, I think that'd be nice. Mm. But not necessarily chase that and say, oh, I want to be that. Do you know what I mean? I think you want to be, if you were to be known, you want it to be for a positive thing as opposed to, you know, that person that fell over on the internet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which would quite likely be me.
And then break the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I suppose it's
would
that.
You?
Yeah.
What me? I wouldn't mind being famous, as in I think like you said, that recognition, that the doors that it opens for the experiences that you want to, you know, have, you know, the you just, your normal people, if you like, just don't get to experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've said before, imagine, I say you, Mark, either Mark, I'd say any of us in this room, imagine being stood on the stage of Tomorrowland, for instance, and you know, dropping a track, do you know what I mean, and watching tens of thousands of people react to the, you know, you can't replicate that. And from an everyday person, you know, and I'm just trying to give an example of something that we can all relate to.
Yeah.
You know, you can't replicate that. I think the biggest thing that would bother me about fame is, I suppose, going on what Rob said a little bit, is always having to think about what you're saying, what you're wearing, what you look like, who you're with, how you're in, because
somebody's waiting to judge you, aren't they?
Everything becomes scrutinised.
Yeah.
You're working constantly, aren't you?
Everything becomes scrutinised. Everything on so many levels, you know. And that's why I've said, you know, you could say that some politicians are famous, you know,
they are
the Prime Minister, for instance, or whatever.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of good trappings in life. But I tell you,
you can't sneeze out of place, can you?
You can't do right for doing wrong, no matter what. And to have that judgment every day, I don't know whether I could cope with it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I could cope with that judgment.
You'd have to be good at being ignorant and just saying, I'm not reading the press.
Yeah, not looking at it, not bothered about it. Yeah.
I have heard people in interviews talk about dealing with fame and whatnot, and they do say that, well, you get a mixed bag of celebrities and famous people saying that, on one hand, they say that is your job. You know, you might be an actor, but you're famous.
Yep.
Therefore, you know, you have to take the ups with the downs. So if you're in the press and it's a bad story or whatever, you know, you're going to ride the good stories and the bad stories, because it's both marketing and publicity.
Mm. I think it clearly can be managed, though. You look at Peter Kay, such a private guy.
Yeah.
Ultra successful, you know, famous throughout the country. You know, granted, probably more famous in the north, but he is famous throughout the country. Mm. You know, he'd been on TV, stand-up, you know, record-selling tours and whatever else. And then, obviously, had an issue where he had to cancel his tours and whatever else, and almost disappeared.
Yeah.
And nobody bothered him. There were obviously people, there were a couple of headlines initially, and then he pops back up, and no one's like saying, oh, what was it? What, you know, and he seems to manage that private stuff really well.
Well, look at Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is arguably...
Yeah,
one of the best actors of our generation.
Yeah,
and arguably probably one of the most famous actors in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not in headlines and presses every day, and you know, he's quite a private person. Now, granted, there might be a bit more in America that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not as if he's on the news every night or you know, paparazzi shots in tabloid papers and stuff
like
that.
Seems to be a link as well. You notice that the people that are very private, you also don't tend to see them on many shows.
No,
they're not on a lot of talk shows and stuff like that. Almost like it's not their game and they don't really do it.
Yeah,
you know. And then you get the other likes of people like Will Smith, who, you know, go out and do something on a big massive event and almost ruin their career.
From one moment.
What happens?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you just think he could have done that. He couldn't have done it anywhere, but if it weren't on live TV, he still would have been, you know, absolutely hammered for it. But
sorry, a bit random. Have you seen U-Bets coming back?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what is really strange? I'd thought about U-Bet not long before I found out that it was coming back. And it sounds really sad, this. Really sad.
Go on.
I were driving up motorway.
You're going to go on it?
No. Well, I've got some sadnesses that I could probably go on and come. And I saw a van, right? approaching me. I didn't see the name on it. I just saw part of the colouring on the van. And I knew what company it were. And I thought,
what?
If this were a U-Bet challenge, how many vans without, without part of the logos? And I, don't get me wrong, it weren't like Esso with just the O on it, because you'd spot that. It was quite an obscure company.
I think there's a board game that you can play called Branding Logo Game.
So
they're bringing it back. They do know Bruce Forsyth's dead, don't they? So
yep.
He's not going to be presenting
it. It's Holly Willoughby, isn't it?
Well, Holly Willoughby is going to be on it, and then it said that with
Stephen Mulhern?
With Stephen Mulhern, but it's going to be almost like guest presenters every
week. Modernising it a little bit.
Yeah, I can't wait. I loved you, Bet.
We spoke about this of his original earlier podcasts,
didn't we?
I think
it's great, because it can run and run, because you're going to have people out there.
I hope it's the same theme tune.
Brass in pocket.
Time at the bar, please. Speaking of theme tunes, I've got one for you.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it gonna be?
I'm just so excited. Come on. He's nearly there. The Wheel of
Features. Right, so nothing to go over from last week, so we're ready to spin the wheel.
Yeah, get
ready?
It going.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Come on.
Go on.
Hey!
What is it?
What is it?
I ain't got one.
What is it?
Five words. One answer.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
You can't handle the truth.
I'll be back.
Plot puzzle.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Plot puzzle.
Plot puzzle.
I ain't got one.
You ain't got one?
No.
I have.
See,
always got your back.
You have.
Shall we do mine then?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. So as a reminder, I'm going to give you five words that describe a film.
Okay.
And then you've got to guess the film.
All right.
Is this a result, I guess, yeah?
Well, we can do, yeah, but we put it out to the listeners as well.
Okay.
So the five words are romance.
Oh.
Got it.
Danger.
Oh.
It's not that then.
Fame.
Oh.
It's getting harder.
Intense.
Mm.
Protection.
Oh. Right, you can say them all again, but quick.
I know it.
Romance, danger, fame, intense, protection.
Oh, you know what? I'm not going to say it, but I think I might know. I think I might know it.
Say it one more time.
Romance,
yeah.
Danger,
yeah.
Fame,
yeah.
Intense,
yeah.
Protection.
Got it.
It's the last word that gave it for me.
Yeah,
but I might be wrong.
But see if anyone else gets it.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And
on that note,
real pleasure.
See you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered, or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.